Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. I am your host, Darlene Holly, and I am sitting here with one of my best new friends who I've had the chance to connect with a lot over the past, say, I'd say like 3 to 4 months. Jill Schroyer, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on here.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs who are growing their businesses and scaling to the next level, and having somebody that knows HR and people and how to create amazing relationships is so important when we're growing our businesses. And I know that you do a lot of this. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you work with your clients?
Absolutely. So thanks so much again, Jill Schroyer. And my company is Expedition HR. And I always say the company was born because I want to protect small businesses from all the HR nightmares that could happen. So I come from about 2 decades in the workforce, working in all levels of HR roles, and found it took me a while to really kind of have the light bulb moment of I'm really good at tough conversations. And so Expedition HR was born 6 years ago, and really we exist to help those small businesses with hard conversations. And I like to say with all the other HR stuff too, but really that's what we do most of the day is help with hard conversations. And personally, I live in Park City, Utah, love to mountain bike and ski and just enjoy our 364 days of sun here. And just love working. I'm really passionate about small business and kind of helping them learn what they need to know about HR.
That's so wonderful. And I love that you shared some of those personal pieces of the activities you'd like to do and how you like to spend your time. I'm curious, like, take us back a little bit. How did you get into like HR and supporting people in that way? What was it that really called you into that industry?
Yeah, so I have kind of an interesting story. So I didn't study human resources in college. I actually was a Spanish major. I speak fluent Spanish as well, so kind of a fun fact. And really after college, you know, I had a great experience and it was awesome, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I grew up in New England and went to college there and just wanted something new. So that's how I found my way to Utah actually for the Olympics back in 2002. And so it was really fun to arrive and check those out. And I just kind of got a job randomly at one of the ski resorts in human resources and thought, okay, this is kind of cool. I get to work with people coming in from other countries to work and fill out paperwork. And it was really fun. And so so actually in 2001 was when I got my first HR job, again, not really knowing much of anything. And kind of fast forward through the years, I just really enjoyed it and kept looking for opportunities. And eventually, I'll never forget, it was 2007, I got a fantastic opportunity to be an HR manager when I really didn't have that experience. And I had this wonderful mentor, and he said, you know, I believe in you. You've got the skills I want. You can learn the HR. And so I put in the time, took the courses, and from there, it just really took off and just found I not only enjoyed it, but I was really good at it. And again, I really leaned into that tough conversation space through the years. And really, really, towards the end of those about 17 years in the workforce working in HR, kind of had a moment where someone approached me and asked me if I could consult for them on a sticky situation in their nonprofit business, actually, and nonprofit organization. And I said, sure. I mean, I don't really do consulting, but sure. And the next day I quit my job and said, I'm going to be an HR consultant. And I have not looked back since because there's so many businesses that need this support. And frankly, a lot of in-house HR support just is not cutting it. It's very administrative based, and there's not a lot of assistance for these small businesses to help with like the real things that come up, the performance issues, the people that need to move on and what to say to them. This one I helped with was like a 14-year employee that they said has been here, you know, 13 years too long. Help us. And so that was kind of where it all began. And Darlene, I think I'm not even sure I am still on the question.
You are doing fabulous. I actually want to come back to something that you said And that was like you had a leader who noticed how you communicate and how you support people and how you show up. And they didn't even care that you didn't have the know-how yet of how to get to do the position that they were having you fill those shoes for. And I think that's such an important piece because I think so often we hire because somebody has a college certificate and they've been in the industry for a long time and we think that that's what we actually want. But I'm a big fan of like the person themselves. Like, what's their values? What's the culture? How do they show up as a human being? What are they bringing to the table? Because so many of the job skills that we learn, no matter what industry we're in, we can learn those things. Like, most of us are very capable of learning the ins and outs of the industry itself. But you can't teach somebody. I mean, you can, but it takes a really long time. And it's oftentimes you can't change somebody. Like, those core values and like the things that are really important to them, like, those are such great assets to bring into an organization. And I'm curious, since that was kind of your story, is that something that you work a lot with your clients on and making sure that you get like, what's the saying go, like to put the right person in the right position on the bus, like to make sure they people in the right place. Like, I'm curious how that impacts the work that you do in HR now.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So while we don't identify as a recruiting agency or a headhunter, we do help clients with kind of all the things that they really need to know to recruit more effectively. And yeah, actually, I have a couple things I talk to clients about when they're looking for someone. The first is, and I didn't invent this term, I don't even know where I heard it. It was years ago. And it was about kind of looking at this position and saying, what are the kind of Excel traits? What does this person have to come in with that are non-negotiables? And just like you said, Darlene, a lot of these things aren't actually the actual skills of the job. You know, to make a really generic example, like if you have a front desk or a greeter, like you said, you can't teach someone to be warm. I mean, a cold, kind of standoffish person, that's shoving a square peg in a round hole or whatever they say, you know, that is never going to happen. So an Excel trait is they've got to be warm. They've got to have great, you know, people skills. So we talk about that. And I even drill it down further to say, okay, and if you could only have one of those things in this person, what is that one thing? So when we're interviewing and we're looking at people, if someone doesn't fit that main key thing, they're immediately disqualified. Because and it happens all the time where they convince themselves that no, it's the right person. They're so good. They have the experience. They live here. They this, that, or the other thing. And they've forgotten about that one, you know, Excel trait or the two non-negotiables that this person needs because they're so good in all these other things. And they hire them. And I always say it's the wrong person, right seat. Like they can do the job, but it's not the right person. And Darlene, I love that you mentioned values because that's where I always say we start with candidates. Like I ask companies, what are your values? Because for me to effectively work with you, I need to know what you stand for. And please talk about this with candidates and find that out first. I like the term, the right person, right seat is a values fit and a skills fit. And a wrong person, right seat is going to leave you, or you're going to have to fire them almost all the time. They're going to be just off, and you just don't know why. You can't put your finger on it. And I'll tell you, it's because they're not the values fit. So yeah, that's in a lot of clients say, like, I've never really looked at it that way. They're so into the skills and they forget about how does this person have to be? You know, what do they have to stand for to be a fit?
Values are something that I would say I've really been taking notice of. I'd say for probably about the past like 7, 8, 9 years now, it's like something that is, I didn't realize how important it was when it came to the work that I'm doing. And it also brings in, I call them red flags, whether it's working with my entrepreneur clients and whether they're hiring somebody to work inside their business, but even if they're just looking at getting clients and the type of people they want to work for. Like, we need to be able to take a stand and share a little bit about our values and who we are and what we believe in. You don't have to get up on, I do say, like, get up on your soapbox a little bit and share some of those things because you're going to attract the right people to you, but you're also going to repel the people that aren't going to be a great fit for you during that process. And it's funny how so often we're afraid to share some of those pieces. But once I get my clients to start speaking about it and just sharing, their story and the things that are important to them, how they really start to notice, like the red flags start to go away, or they can notice them early and they can say, this isn't going to be a good fit. I'm going to actually refer you out to somebody else, or, you're actually not going to be the right fit for my company. I'm going to keep interviewing until I find the right person that's going to be able to come in. And I think those those red flags, the longer we're in business, the easier it is for us to notice them, because we all learn. I always learn lessons the hard way. I'm very,
Yes.
my mother always would say that I was stubborn and I would have to learn it my way, even though she would tell me what the right thing that I should do in that moment. Like, I wanted to, go out there and experiment and see how things are going. And so I think it's important as entrepreneurs and leaders, like, we experiment a little bit and we start to
Yeah.
notice, like, ooh, these are the things I really connect with and how I want to run my business, or, take my career in this direction. And so when we notice those pieces, it just makes us show up so much more in tune with who we really are.
Totally. I find I'm folding them into so many more conversations with, just even my business. Every time I make a decision, I've got something on my bulletin board that's like, is this aligned with your values? And is this aligned where you want to go? And sometimes you look up, you're like, no, it's not, but I really want to do it. And it's every time you do it, you always have that moment of like, okay, good lesson learned.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing some work with a client for about a year now, and one of the things that they were not talking about was values and culture and those pieces. Like, it just wasn't something. They were in the break room on the wall, and they talked about it during orientation, but that was really as far as it was going. And we built a training program for one of their divisions inside the company, and we really instilled those pieces in the very first couple of days of training to make sure that they were embodying it. And we've been piloting it over the past couple of months, and you can see a shift from the facilitators that have been trained this new way all the way through the new hires on how they're showing up and how it's impacting the bigger vision of the company. And it's, we're starting with brand new hires. We almost have to go back now and really retrain all the employees that have been there for a while, because it just wasn't part of that culture. And we're slowly weaving it in to the process. And it's been beautiful to watch.
That's so neat.
So I'm curious, since you decided to, like, take that leap and start your own consulting business, what have been some of the biggest, like, challenges or struggles for you going from working inside of an organization with somebody else to really taking on that leadership role, as CEO, founder yourself? What have been some things that you've learned and lessons that might help other entrepreneurs as they're starting their journey into starting a business?
Yeah, I love that question. It's funny, I'll give a quick story about like mountain biking. So someone that I met when I first moved out here, I'd go biking with her and she would just ride over things. And I was like, how do you do that? And she said, Jill, it's mileage. I've been biking for 20 years. And I had just kind of started mountain biking. And I was like, oh, and I'll never forget her. I can picture where we were. And so I look at it with business is like mileage. Some people start a business and I'm not saying I'm like the ultimate of business owner, but some people look at me and they're like, wow, I want to do that. And I said, I've been in business 6 years. I mean, you've been in business so much longer even than I have. And I said, that expression they say, like every overnight success took 6 years. And I look back as like, so many things, if I had just done that differently, I would have been here sooner. But I think it's like that mileage term is, it's like a rite of passage. You have to do the thing and mess up and run too fast and have something, not ideal happen or work so hard on something and get underpaid for it to learn the lessons, like you said, fail forward or however they say. So I've always been a person that likes to try things and it takes a while for me to get discouraged. And so I think that's one of the biggest things is don't overthink it, think through it, but try it. And then know quickly if it's not going to work. And I've had many of those before I kind of landed with this HR subscription that's kind of the main way I support clients with that on-demand support is I had to do everything for everyone and just work when they needed me to. And yeah, I think that was the biggest thing is try things and quickly drop them if they don't work. But think through them enough.
Yeah, and so often, especially when we're starting a business, it's the old saying of, like, throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, is it ready? Do we know exactly what type of work we want to do? Because there's part of it. It's like, what do our ideal clients want? And then what type of work lights us up and excites us to show up every day? Because it's not only just about the clients. Like, we need to make sure we're fulfilled. Like, we're starting businesses because a lot of times, and not every entrepreneur relates 100% to this, but a lot of it's like, we want the freedom and flexibility to create a business and a life that we love. And I think that's so important. Like, for me, it was flexibility and freedom in my schedule. That was, like, a huge
Same.
piece to what I needed. I was a single mom back when I started my business. I wanted to be home with my kids, and I also wanted to be able to have, provide nicely for my family. And I wanted to do something that was going to make an impact in the world. I wanted to help other people. We only have one life. We want to do the
Yeah.
things that we love. And so many people that I, because I did HR training and development in my prior career as well, and so many people that I was working with didn't love the work they were doing. It was just a paycheck. I was like, how do we show up and make an impact and do work that we love that's gonna, leave a legacy at some point in our lives? We don't want to work just to work. Like, yeah, we all need money. That's kind of a given in this society, the way that our world's been built. But
Yeah.
like, how do we do it in a way that really aligns with who we are and allows us to show off those gifts? So,
Well,
and
like, oh, go ahead.
no, go ahead. Say
I
what you
was
were
gonna
saying.
say, like you and I were chatting about before we started, is like gut feel. I always say, like, to my clients, we can't ignore the gut feel. We have to look at facts as well. But I think that's something maybe to add to, is just like, I joke that I'm not in the business of convincing. I'm not going to convince a client that they need HR. And if they don't know that it's important and they need it. So it's almost like in your business, convincing yourself that, like, oh, that's my ideal client, but maybe I should expand. And you convince yourself, or the influencer online, and you say, oh, but they look so good, I want to do what they're doing. And I always say, like, be careful convincing yourself that you want something else that's not aligned with your values as well. Like, listen, if something feels, whether it's a little stomach ache or the little voice that's like, are you sure? Listen to that. Because same thing, I built the business off of, flexibility, and said, I want to work this much, and this is how, I want to show up for my family, and everything else had to fit into that container. And if it didn't, it had to be a no, even though if it might have been a high price tag no. And that was always one of the hardest things for me when I start, well, when I really realized that this is the direction I need to go, is like, there's so much more than the price you get paid for something. The
Yes.
value of, I say at what cost, and it has nothing to do with dollars. Like, at what cost in your happiness, your life.
One of my favorite, my community probably has heard me say this a million times, but I always say, if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to for
Yeah.
myself? And that I heard that question. I'm not sure exactly what amazing book I read it out of or who said it at what point. But I remember like that gut check of like, ooh. Like I'm saying it because I'm by nature a people pleaser. I want to make everybody else happy, and oftentimes that came at my own expense. And I've really worked on this, and I feel like I'm in a great place now. And but I can still see at different points like it can creep up very easily back into my life. And I know I love to help other people, so it's like I want to make sure though that I'm doing it not at the expense of my goals and my vision and my dreams, but it's adding to what I'm trying to accomplish, in this short life that I have. And so asking myself often, if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to for my goals? And sometimes I'm like, I'm gonna do it. Like this feels great. It's a little
Yeah.
bit off of my what I thought I was gonna do, but it feels really good. And then other times I'm like, ooh, you know what? I can't volunteer and do this thing, or I'm not able to come and support at this place or whatever it is. And then I can say no, and no is a complete sentence. I don't even have to explain myself to those people, but I make that
Yes.
choice, not old Darlene, who was like, oh, I will help everybody and be so fried and exhausted that I'll
Yep.
forget what I'm even trying to work on and like what I want to do.
Yes. Oh, so many good things in there.
You said something earlier that sticks out to me, especially as entrepreneurs. Like, we don't want to compare ourselves to like other people's, like, I call it chapters in life, right? Like, I might be on chapter 10, somebody else might be on chapter one, and we
Oh,
think
I
we're
love that.
overnight successes, or we see, a lot of entrepreneurs or influencers who are doing really big things really quickly, and we want to emulate what we're seeing them do. I'm curious, how have you seen that show up in your life, and how do you kind of maneuver if you see somebody? I call it like the shiny object syndrome. Like, we see somebody else out there, maybe it's marketing or they're another HR, not competition, because there's no such thing as competition, but somebody else who's doing similar work to you is doing something. How do you really keep yourself in alignment with your goals without trying wanting to like get distracted by all the shiny things that you see other people out there doing?
Yeah, I think the best way for me is to sit back and say, what is story and what is fact? What they're sharing might not all be true, and I usually bring it back. I like to say, like, will stress me out to like think about or try and like project onto like what their successes have been or what instead it's easier to look and say, well, let me think about the facts for what's going on with me. You know, this is the these are the successes I had. This is what's going on now that's going great. And if I look at all the facts that support I'm on the right track, that really helps me. Going back to stories, I'm really good at creating stories that aren't true. I think at some point we all are. It's like, whoa, where did, you know, someone doesn't call you back and it's like, oh, they didn't think that I knew what I was talking about. And it's like, that's not it at all. The facts are that they're busy, and that happens every time. You know, 3 days later they'll call and say, I'm so excited to start working. And so I think the stories are really dangerous. So for me, it's let's separate the facts from the stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And that piece, like we can all tell ourselves really good stories, and it does not I know from I'll speak for myself. Usually the story that I've created in my head that I think is the outcome is crazy wild compared to what actually is going to happen in that moment. And so I've had to really
Yes.
learn, like I have a very good vivid imagination apparently, because usually what I think is going to happen versus what actually happens is usually, you know, a pretty big gap. And so I've had to like learn
Yes.
how to rein in those stories, because I don't know, our inner critic and our comparison and, you know, the things that our mind can take us on a whole adventure without even leaving our house, right? So
Well, I know they always say like it's like don't, you know, when you want to practice gratitude and don't think like, wow, there's so many people that don't have what I have. Instead, though, I like to think instead just think back to gratitude and say, yeah, but there's probably a lot of, if I put everything I'm doing out there, there'd be a lot of people also that admired what I do. So why am I, you know, glorifying someone else when someone else probably looks up to you or I, you know, by something we said or a meeting. And so it's easy for me, I know, to say, oh, everyone must look up to that person, when we forget like, what are our accomplishments? And, you know, if people looking up to me, hopefully it's for, you know, the right reasons. Yeah, so.
absolutely. One of the things that I want to, like, as we start to kind of wrap up, I have one more last question before we head to rapid fire. When you think about communication, because I know, like, in HR, as whether we're entrepreneurs or we're leaders inside of organization, we're working with lots of people every single day. And communication is one of the things that no matter where we are in life, right? Whether it's with our partners, our kids, our coworkers, our colleagues, our clients, we're getting in front of a big group to lead a presentation. Like how we communicate is really powerful. And I'm just curious, like what's some of like your favorite tips when it comes to communicating with your team to really get them on board that you found over the years that really helps support your clients and yourself even?
Yeah, I think, you know, just refreshing on what listening really is. And, you know, what I teach is I have a Be a Marvelous Manager training I teach for one of the leadership trainings. And I talk about how we all might think we're listening, but if you're forming any thoughts when they're talking, that's really not fully listening. And so I teach like a quick 2 second pause at the end of what someone else says. To be able, then be able, then that's when you form your thoughts about what you're going to say. And if you're really focusing on what the other person has said, that can really just help with them, you know, literally seeing that you're processing and then talking. Also, repeating back and keeping a super calm tone are two of my other favorite communication pieces. Is not like parroting, because I've heard it said that way. I'm like, no, you're like mirroring. You want to use their words, but you don't want it to be like, oh, you said, and just say the exact same thing, because they're like, you're just parroting back what I said. But keeping that really even tone and kind of saying, you know, I'm hearing this, and then asking, am I getting this right? Even though if I know, like I'm a good listener, I take notes, I still ask, did I get that right? Did I miss anything? And sometimes they'll say, oh, I want to add this or that. But there's a favorite quote I have about communication. It says, the biggest myth about communication is that it's actually taken place. And that's usually I talk about. I'm a big fan of over communicating, and not like in a micromanaging way, but like asking questions like, hey, I explained that, but I know that I see it this way and I know it's new to you. Do you have any other questions? You know, would you be willing to share if anything doesn't make sense? Just a lot of questions and pausing. Those to I know those are some of my most powerful communication tools.
Yeah, those are great. And I love the first one that you mentioned about like really listening to what people are saying. Because as we were talking right now, I actually had it like I formed a question a couple questions back, and I was trying to hold on to it so tightly because I wanted to ask it that I didn't want to forget what the question was. That I was like, but you're not hearing what she's saying right now, Darlene. So I like dropped that question and just like let myself like sit back for a second. And it's so true. Like I'm very guilty of this. Like I'm like, oh, I want to rebuttal against this, or I have the perfect thing. I gotta say this like statement based off of what you said. But you know, most of the time when you're in a conversation, like somebody might keep going for 2 to 10 minutes saying whatever their piece is, and you don't even hear the last 8 minutes of it because you're still trying to like rebuttal against that first response or the first thing that they said that you're like, oh, I have to like respond in this place. But when we settle back in, we actually have like give the gift of listening to other people can be one of the most powerful tools, especially as a leader, because we want to feel seen, heard, and valued when we're, you know, sharing our thoughts and our feelings and what's coming up in that moment. And if we don't actually hear them, how are we going to actually support them?
100%. Yeah, I know everyone's probably like ultra like conscious of it. When someone talks about active listening skills, it's like, gosh, you know, we all probably, I know I can do better. I mean, on a daily basis, I know I can do better with, you know, not forming that question in my head. It always feels so good. I know when I've started doing a lot more pausing when I've talked, and some people push back and say it's so uncomfortable. And I said, that's okay. It shows like confidence. When you pause, I think it just exudes confidence. Like even if you're interviewing someone in your small business and they stop and say, let me think about that. And they just sit. I'm like, wow, they're really confident. Like they are comfortable in their skin. And so just the pause, I think, can be incredibly valuable.
And on the flip side of that, when we pause as the person who's speaking, it actually gives a chance for the person who's listening to like actually think about what was just said. And it gives them a chance to like form their thoughts, and it actually supports them as well. I know that's one of the things that we talk a lot about when I'm speaking at a training, or if I'm speaking at, you know, doing a keynote or a presentation. Like sometimes it's for my benefit because I forgot where I want to go next and I just need to like take a second, and that's okay. But it actually like it supports the people that are listening so much in that moment as well. Like especially I'm a quick talker. When I get up on stage, like my sensations are, you know, moving or shaking in my body, and I start talking fast. I have to slow myself down. But I also have to remember too, like when I pause, I just gave so much to like such a gift to the people that were listening, because they can actually catch up on their thoughts and really form their own thoughts. And, you know, oh, how do I feel about this? Or, ooh, that was a great point. Like, how do I want to use this in my life, or when I show up at work, what's that going to look like?
I love that you call the pause a gift. I love that so much. Well, it's funny, you know, when I've talked to clients before, sometimes I even say, okay, I've thrown a lot at you. I'm going to take a quick pause. Feel free to just think about what I shared. And then I just sit kind of like that. And yeah, I think I love that. It is totally a gift because not many people do it. So
They
many people,
don't.
it's just even like in a consult, like you go to get a service and someone's just like, throws so much information at you, and at the end, you're like, I don't even know what to ask.
Yeah. It's one of those gifts that we don't even know we need, right?
Yes.
And when we're the person doing the pause, it might feel uncomfortable. Like I tell this to my clients all the time, like it's okay to pause and take a second to form your thoughts. And for you, sometimes, especially I know this for a fact, when I'm on stage, it sometimes could feel like, oh my God, that was like, am I being quiet long enough? Or have I like, for them, it feels appropriate. For sometimes for us, we're like, how long is too long? Like, should I keep pausing for a second, or do I go back into it? But knowing that, you know, count to five. If you think it's time to come back and like start your next sentence, like count to five even then before you go back and talk. And your people will take so much away because you're actually giving them that gift of like reflection in that moment.
In hard conversations, this comes up a lot where, you know, you ask someone kind of like, hey, you know, tell me your thoughts on this, and they share. And if you can wait to respond instead of saying, oh, yeah, let me share some advice, or if you can wait, they 90% of the time they'll keep talking. And I always kind of joke that sometimes, like if you're in a conversation where you're trying to get something out of someone, if you pause, sometimes they share that thing and you don't even have to ask. You don't have to coax it out. They kind of share it and they realize that that's what they really needed to like admit or say. It's incredibly powerful.
Yes, I love that one. I use that technique very often as a coach because I want my clients to not feel like they need to come to me for answers even sometimes. Like when my clients ask a question, oftentimes they know the answer within them. Like sometimes they do need some support and guidance, but we know what we want to say and how, like what we need to do, but sometimes we just don't trust ourselves enough. And so I will even do that. Like my one-to-one clients have access to me by Voxer, which is an app that they can like walkie-talkie back and forth. And I don't respond, and they know this. I rarely will respond pretty quickly. Like I will not, and sometimes I might hear it and I'll still wait. Other times I just haven't got to the message yet. I haven't had a chance to check it. But rarely do I respond right away, not because I don't want to like jump in and support them, but because I want them to trust themselves. I want them to be like they'll come back sometimes 2 hours later and I'll have another message after the first one. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's where I think I should go with it. And they still want to hear like my thoughts and opinion on it, but they've had a chance to verbally process it to me by saying it out loud. They've then taken a second to really listen to what they've said and figure out what they might want to do, what their gut reaction is in that moment. And then they're like, okay, here's where I'm kind of going now. Like, what do you think about this? Like, here's what I think I should do. And then we can continue the conversation. But it's one of those sneaky coachy techniques that I feel like not all coaches use. Like, I don't like somebody told me once, they're like, you're teaching me how to think without you, Darlene. Like, are you sure you want to like work yourself out of a job? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to be your coach forever. Like, at some point, you're going to need, you'll have all the tools and resources that you'll need, and you'll feel really confident going out there. And that's what I want. Like, you might choose to work with another coach. You might work with me. Like, some of my clients work with me for years and years on end, which I love, but I also want them to trust their own voice in those moments. And so I think that's powerful when we can give that to somebody else.
That's so good. Such a good reminder because I love, like, we do Voxer as well, and I love responding. But I always, even with myself, like, if we think through something and we make a decision and we step away for a minute, oftentimes, whether we sleep on it, we come up with, ooh, there's a third option that I never even thought of. Just time, just a pause.
Yeah, I love that you said sleeping on it because I recent probably a couple of years ago now, I did some research on like human design. And part of the things that I realized about my human design is I should not respond immediately. Like I need to take a little bit of time to think about how I actually feel about a situation. And so now I sleep on it. So if you were to come in and say, hey, Darlene, I need whatever you asked, like for the most part, I will say, that sounds great. Let me think about it. Let me sleep on it tonight and I'll get back to you tomorrow. Just so I can give myself a chance to go, yeah, I really want to do this. This sounds great. Or no, not gonna work. It's not, it doesn't feel like the right, direction to take my business, or it's not the right collaboration, or it's not the right client, like whatever that is. Like I want to have a chance to just really make sure it sits well with me. And so like sleeping on it, or even sometimes just going for a walk, especially if I'm making a decision for myself and I'm like, oh, I need to make a choice. I'll just grab the dog and the leash and go for a walk around the block with no podcast, nobody else with me, just, my own quiet space so I can really think and really decide how I want to move forward. So I love that you mentioned those ones. Well, we are coming to a wrap, but before we really wrap up, I have a couple questions for you. If I was to give you a plane ticket to anywhere in the world today, where would you travel to and why?
Oh gosh. I'm going to
Where are we
use
going?
that
Where are we
pause.
going?
Gosh, today, I might go to, let's see. Maybe this isn't so rapid fire. You're like, Jill, this is really slow. I'm going to say Spain. I'm actually Spain, definitely. That's where I lived in college. And my Spanish senora lives there. And I went back to see her 5 years ago now. So it was 20 years after I lived with her. And I was actually thinking the other day how, so she was 66 when I lived with her, and she was like 86 when I saw her. And so now she's in her 90s and they walk everywhere. But if I could just pop over and have dinner with her tonight, I would.
That would be lovely. I wish I could just give you that ticket right this minute. And I can come with you because I can't imagine how much wealth of knowledge she would be. I love that. Self-care is so important. What is one or two things that you like to do to rejuvenate, refill, recharge, and fill your cup when you're just feeling like a little bit of that stress and overwhelm start to creep up?
Yeah. For me, it's exercise. I'm so grateful that it's a part of my day and my life without like any effort. Like it's the first thing that goes into my day. Like I mentioned, I love mountain biking. I don't book any meetings in the mornings in the winter because I love powder skiing. And so it's in or a hike. Like a kind of strenuous uphill hike with the dog. Those are definitely my go-tos. It's like a win-win-win. You know, you get exercise, you de-stress. And I love meditating and just sitting quietly. That's something I've been practicing. And sometimes it's with something in my ear, and sometimes it's I set a timer for 15 minutes and I just say, just sit.
So good. Yeah. I can only imagine the views that you get to get out into nature with out up in Utah. They've got to be
So
gorgeous.
pretty.
One of these days I'm going to get up there. We
Yes.
spent a lot of time in the, at the bottom of Utah growing up as a kid. We went to Zion, and so I've experienced that part, but I've never been to northern Utah, so one of these days I'm going to get up that way.
Great. Well, look me up.
I for sure will. Leaving an impact or having an impact and leaving a legacy. Are something that I hear a lot of entrepreneurs specifically like want, like we want to be able to give a piece of that back. What's something that you want to have as part of your footprint?
Yeah. I want to be that person that and it for me it doesn't have to be, you know, thousands of people, like a few people at the kind of end of my life that say, Jill, like changed the way I looked at things, whether it be for tough conversations personally or professionally, like a mentor in their life. Like I can name, you know, really one key one in my life who I talk about him, you know, all the time when people say, who are your mentors? So if someone said Jill was my mentor, she was someone who really changed the way I think. That's it. That's my work is done. And my kids saying, I want to be like mom. I want to do what she did. And
Yeah, so good. Gave me goosebumps. And my last question for you, what is your top value and why is that your top value or one of your tops? It doesn't have to be the top.
yeah. So I'd say my top value is making memories with my family. And under that folds in, you know, the time freedom of my business and everything. But making memories to me is just, I mean, that at the end of your life, you know, my uncle told me this once when I was like 18. He said, Jill, you can always make money. You can't always make memories. Like, do the stuff. And I always think of him when, you know, I mean, obviously we need to make money in our business and kind of do what we set out to do. But at the end of the day, a good day is one where I've had quality time with those I love and have seen some beautiful scenery. That is worth billions to me. So.
Absolutely. Jill, thank you so much for being on the show. I've absolutely adored this conversation and wish we could keep talking, but we're going to stop here.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up, I know people are going to say like, I need to connect with Jill some more. I need to hear more about her amazing business and the work that she's doing out there. Where should they go to find you? What's the best avenue?
Yeah, so I hang out on LinkedIn. That's really the only place I am. I really enjoy it there. I kind of nerd out on LinkedIn. So just Jill Schroyer, pretty easy to find me. It's Schroyer if anyone is interested in looking. And my website, expeditionhr.com. Of course, there's a way to reach out and connect there. And I'll just share, I wrote a book on tough conversations. So that's a great way to kind of, I wrote it in such a way that it speaks how I speak. And so I've had a lot of people say in their feedback that it feels like I'm talking to you, Jill. So that's a great way to connect as well. Or if someone says, oh, I just want to learn all these techniques for tough conversations, it's called Conquer Sticky Situations, and it can be found on Amazon.
Awesome. And we will make so, or we'll make sure all those links are down below in the show notes or on the YouTube channel as well.
Awesome.
I know you
Did you
have a
want me to
free,
mention the resource? Sorry.
tell us about, I know you have a free gift for everybody today. Can you tell them what that is and why they need to download it right now?
Yeah, it's called 10 Ways to Prevent Sticky Situations in Small Business. And what I outline in this resource is 10 specific and actionable ways that if you have a small business, you can kind of go through this checklist to just avoid some potentially big, you know, liabilities and risks. You know, I like the disclaimer, I'm not a lawyer. If you do these 10 things or even one or two of them, I can guarantee things will be smoother in your business. So I hope you pick it up and get some value.
Absolutely. Go download Jill's amazing free resource. I know how valuable most of these free resources that from like the guests that I have on my show, I usually go download them myself just to see, kind of check it out. And I'm always like so blown away by like the generosity of the gift and what so much value can come from something that, technically we're just giving you our email address for. So get out there, connect with Jill, go stalk her down. Stalk you. I don't know if we don't want to stalk Jill, but go hunt her down
Go
and go
for
say
it.
hi. Share one of the takeaways from something she shared, or maybe even that I shared on the episode today. I'm sure there was so many little golden nuggets I know I took from it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. I would love for you to do something amazing, which is go hit the little plus sign and subscribe or follow the podcast on whatever platform you are following it on. That way, you get a chance to know when my next episode is going to drop. And then I also, we get to connect with you every single, or not, or I was gonna say every single week, but we're doing bi-weekly episodes these days. So at least twice a month, you're gonna hear another fabulous episode from somebody who's out there not only living the life that they want, but they're building a business or a career that really lights them up. So thank you again, Jill, for being here. And that's a wrap for another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. Remember, I believe in you. You're allowed to stand out, you're allowed to shine, you're allowed to be you. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.